the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 18th of January, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Well, we're going to take another look at Negro traditions today to begin with. I think Negro traditions that have been transposed to the West. And this headline comes from the Daily Mail. Parents who tried to cast black magic spells on police and medics after hiring a witch to perform genital mutilation on daughter aged 3 had name of ex-CPS chief inside a lime in freezer in bid to curse her. Can you ever imagine reading anything like that about a white woman in a white country? A woman, I would say, not that they shouldn't say a woman. That's insulting to women. They should say a negress. A negress tried to cast black magic spells on police and doctors after carrying out genital mutilation on her 3-year-old daughter, a court heard. Now, besides this being so bizarre, it's interesting, and we need to really take note because this is the first time that anyone's actually been prosecuted, as far as I'm aware, for genital mutilation in Britain. They've had lots of adverts trying to persuade people that they shouldn't engage in it. Lots of adverts where apparently it's not Negroes that are doing this. Bernardo's put out an advert last year with a white girl, bizarrely enough, trying to encourage Negroes not to chop the genitals off their daughters. But apparently, nobody has actually been prosecuted. It has been made against the law. It's a horrific crime that nobody would even think of doing in a white country. White people wouldn't think of doing it. But because it's a quaint Negro tradition, they carry on doing it in our countries. And the courts are too frightened to prosecute this because of the response that they'll get from the community. So this is, well, that's what they say. They're too frightened to do it because it would cause tensions in the black community. So this is why it's interesting that they're actually doing this. The little girl's Ugandan mother, 37, and Ghanaian father, 43, allegedly enlisted a witch to help them carry out the surgery at a filthy flat in East London. A filthy flat. What else would you expect them to live in? They don't, when they first went over there to Africa, they weren't even living in houses. I've just been looking at a report which says huts, hovels and holes, what the Negroes live in. Again, I've been looking in Negroes in Negroland, the report that was actually compiled for the courts in America in 1860. We'll have a look at some more quotes from that after we finish with this newspaper article. But of course they live in filth. That's what they do traditionally. They don't even live in houses. So if you give them a flat to live in, of course they're going to mess it up. Police investigating the case discovered cow's tongues bound with wire and nails in the defendant's freezer as part of a black magic ritual, the court heard. Officers also found 40 limes and other pieces of fruit which had pieces of paper stuffed inside containing names, including that of the former Director of Public Prosecutions, Alison Saunders. According to the spells, those named would freeze their mouths and shut up, the court heard. And this is these Negroes' way of preparing their defence for court, you see, is to hire a black magic witch and then cast spells on the prosecutor. That's their form of defence. Because they never had a court system before in their lives. Never in the whole of the history of Africa has there ever been a court system or a system of law. They don't understand it. This is why they always plead innocent. Because they think that whether they're found innocent or guilty is all up to chance. And if they cast magic spells, that's more likely to make them innocent. The parents are accused of instructing their daughter to tell police and social workers she had fallen and injured herself on a cupboard door after she climbed on a kitchen surface to get biscuits. Whoops, I slipped and cut my genitals off. But the girl later told police the couple pinned her down while another woman carried out the procedure, the Old Bailey heard. In a series of WhatsApp messages, the woman also tried to place a curse on the police and medical staff. The court here, the girl was taken to Whipps Cross Hospital in Walthamstow, East London, in a cab on August Bank Holiday Monday in 2017. In an emergency call, the mother told operators, "It's a young child. She was trying to get some biscuits and she fell on the metal and it's ripped her private parts. Oh my God." Prosecutor Caroline Carberry QC told the court today the victim later told police that the man and the woman called the other woman a witch and that they had held her while the witch cut her. During those communications, the woman was instructing the man to create a spell or curse involving a substance called alum, which you will hear is used to silence. She instructed him to put the police and doctors inside, a reference to including the names of the police and doctors in the spell or curse. This girl sustained her injuries by deliberately cutting with a sharp instrument, and the injuries amounted to female genital mutilation. And I'll just stop there. This female genital mutilation, I think this has an origin in actual biology. If you read the reports of the Hottentots, they apparently had extended labia that would hang down between their legs 3 or 4 inches. I'm sure I read reports of them being 6 inches long, almost like a phallus, but like this tube that would hang down between these negresses' legs. And I think this is cosmetically, they thought it would be a good idea to cut this off just for cosmetic reasons. So there could be a biological reason for this. And the reason we don't see so many of these objects flapping around between the female Negro's legs is because if they were to breed with white people, then the mulatto offspring didn't have this extended labia. So you can imagine them having these mulatto kids that didn't have the extended labia and thinking, well, that looks better than mine. Maybe we should start chopping ours off. And that could be the origin of this, because it is pure. I think it's cosmetic. It's like plastic surgery for them. The Negro men seem to prefer Negro females that have got mutilated genitals for some reason. They will claim that it's religious. There is mention of it in Islam. Apparently, it also goes on in South India. In south of India, they're trying to get it carried out by their equivalent of the NHS. They're trying to say that it's religious persecution to try and stop it, and the state should actually be funding it so that it's done safely. They're so desperate to mutilate their genitals. At the hospital, the mother said the girl was not wearing any underwear and had landed on a metal strip in the edge of the cupboard door after climbing up to get some biscuits. Just as you do, as kids do. The girl was in acute pain, and after she underwent surgery that night, the consultant called the police. He suspected she had been subjected to FGM because there was no bruising to her body, and he believed the injuries had been caused with a scalpel, not the edge of a cupboard. I mean, this is horrific. You think of the injuries that went on here. Just for them to have called the ambulance, it must have gone seriously wrong. Miss Carberry said the girl had been prompted by the couple to tell the police what happened. When she was shown the pictures of the kitchen by police in her first interview, she said, "This is where I fell. I tried to get a biscuit and I fell over on the metal." But then she had a conversation with her foster carer at her home and said the woman was a bad person, is going to jail. When she was asked what she meant, the girl added, "She cut my privates," and pointed to her genitals. She later added, "They hold me, the lady, she cut me, blood everywhere. I no fall down, they tell me I fall down." She was interviewed by the police again and said that a second woman, the man and woman called a witch, had actually cut her. The girl later told the foster carer, "I promised, I can't tell anyone." The father told police he had been in the garden when the girl said she was going to get a biscuit. Mrs. Carberry said he showed the officer a photograph on this phone of a closed kitchen cupboard door with a microwave on the work surface, and at the front of the microwave, a packet of biscuits. He told the officer he was showing her this photograph as evidence. Again, this shows you this low IQ of the Negroes to think that this story could be used as proof that they weren't actually doing this on purpose. This story of an accident of falling on a cupboard and it just happened to cut the labia and clitoris off of a three-year-old. I mean, nobody's going to believe that. But if you have an IQ that's about 50 or 60, then you're going to believe that people are going to believe stories like this. He told the officer he was showing her this photograph as evidence, but when police examined the dirty kitchen, they found the cupboard door was almost hanging off and would have come away if the girl had fallen upon it. Expert doctors also examined the girl and found her injuries were consistent with FGM, the court heard. The woman said she had never heard of FGM before it was mentioned at the hospital. Yeah, right. No, never heard of this tradition that all the Negresses go through at different ages. I believe normally they go through it when they're adolescent. But what they were doing here is doing it to a three-year-old. It's so obvious that is likely to go wrong. Carrying out any kind of surgery before genitals have actually grown for them to carry out the surgery on is likely to cause damage. Crazy. The woman said she had never heard of FGM before it was mentioned at the hospital. The man and woman from East London both deny carrying out FGM and failing to protect the girl from the risk of FGM. And the trial continues. They believe that their juju magic is going to protect them here. So they say that they're innocent and then they pay a witch doctor to cast spells and curses and they expect that they're going to be found innocent. They don't understand the way that the court process works. It's too complex for them. And this sort of behaviour, I mean, it's just Negro behaviour through and through. Their traditions are all like this. Their medical system is all like this. It's all spells, curses, and chopped off body parts from albino Negroes. Again, I said we'd have a look at some quotes from Negroes from Negroland, and this is from Chapter 4, Bloodthirstiness and Barbarity of the Negroes in Negroland. "There is apparently in this people a physical delight in cruelty to beast as well as to man. The sight of suffering seems to bring them an enjoyment, without which the world is tame. In almost all the towns on the oil rivers, you see dead or dying animals fastened in some agonizing position. Poultry is most common, because cheapest. They are tied by the legs, head downwards, or lashed around the body to a stake or a tree, where they remain till they fall apart in fragments. If a man be unwell, he hangs a live chicken around his throat, expecting that its pain will abstract from his sufferings." Where have we heard that before? That reminds me of the Jews that whirl chickens around their heads. One of the Jewish customs is to cast all your sins into a chicken, whirl it around your head, and then pass it off to some homeless person as a gift. And then, of course, through sympathetic magic, all the sins then go to the homeless person. I mean, don't think the Jews are any better than the Negroes here. I mean, the Jews have their circumcision rituals as well, and they aren't too kind to animals. But to continue with this quote here, goats are lashed head downwards tightly to wooden pillars and are allowed to die a lingering death. Even the harmless tortoise cannot escape impalement. Blood seems to be the favourite ornament for a man's face, as pattern painting with some dark colour like indigo is the proper decoration for a woman. At funerals, numbers of goats and poultry are sacrificed for the benefit of the deceased, and the corpse is sprinkled with the warm blood. The headless trunks are laid upon the body, and if the fowls flap their wings, which they will do for some seconds after decapitation, it is a good omen for the dead man. And that's from Hutcheson's Western Africa, Volume 2, page 283. This is the next one. It is not so easy to offer any probable reason for the eagerness to share in cruelty which glows in a Negro's bosom. Its appalling character consists rather in the amount of bloodshed which gratifies the Negro than in the studious prolongation of pain. Superstition probably excused or justified to him some of his worst practices. Human sacrifices have been common everywhere. There was no scruple at cruelty when it was convenient. The mouths of the victims were gagged by knives run through their cheeks, and captives among the southern tribes were beaten with clubs in order to prevent resistance, or to take away their strength, that they might be more easily hurried to the Hill of Death, or authorised place of execution. That's from Footer's Africa and the American Flag, page 52. You can look at this, you can look at this behaviour, and it suddenly becomes clear why we have an epidemic of stabbings and acid attacks and people being maimed with machetes in London at the moment. Sadiq Khan is saying, oh, this is a health crisis. I really don't know what's causing this huge increase in crime. Perhaps we better open up some more youth clubs and youth discos. That will prevent it. No, it won't prevent it. All you have to do is look at what goes on in Africa to see the only thing that's happened is that they are now more technically proficient. They're using things such as acid, or they're using huge great knives created by the white man instead of just using clubs made out of bones to beat each other over the head with. But the same tribal warfare that you see in Africa is now going on in the multicultural cities of the West, and it's called gang warfare when it happens in the West. Continuing, it is hard to make them feel that the shedding of human blood is a great crime. They must be conscious that it is wrong, but having been accustomed to bloodshed from infancy, they are remarkably callous to the enormity of the crime of destroying human life. And that's from Livingstone's Africa, page 217. And he's still projecting the white man's conscience onto the Negro here and saying they must be conscious that it is wrong. I'm not certain they are conscious that it is wrong. They used to eat other Negroes. They still do eat other Negroes. Every year you'll find reports of them being charged with eating other Negroes or opening up a restaurant that was selling human heads. You don't eat your own kind if you have any conscious understanding that that is the wrong thing to do. I mean, this is a part of Negro diet, and this is a part of Negro tradition to be bloodthirsty. When they see somebody wounded in the street, they don't feel compassion. They feel the urge to attack them, to join in. And they will tell you this as well. It's just that we ignore what they say. When they describe their behavior, when they explain their behavior to us, we ignore it and say, oh, it must be because they didn't have a father figure, or it must be because they live in poverty. No, this is the way they are. This is why they behave like this, is because it's the way they are. Continuing, Tembandumba, the Amazonian and cannibal queen of the Congo, commanded that all male children, all twins, and all infants whose upper teeth appeared before their lower ones should be killed by their own mothers. From their bodies, an ointment should be made in the way which she would show. The female children should be reared and instructed in war, and male prisoners, before being killed and eaten, should be used for purposes of procreation, so that there might be no future lack of female warriors. Having concluded her harangue with the publication of other laws of minor importance, this young woman seized her child, which was feeding at her breast, flung him into a mortar, and pounded him to a pulp. She flung this into a large earthen pot, adding roots, leaves, and oils, and made the whole into an ointment, with which she rubbed herself before them all, telling them that this would render her invulnerable, and that now she could subdue the universe. Immediately her subjects, seized with a savage enthusiasm, massacred all their male children, and immense quantities of this human ointment were made. It is clear enough that Tembandumba wished to found an empire of Amazons, such as we read of as existing among the Scythians in the forests of South America and in Central Africa. She not only enjoined the massacre of male children, she forbade the eating of woman's flesh, but she had to conquer an instinct in order to carry out her views. She fought against nature, and in time she was subdued. And that's from Readers, Savage Africa. And that just shows you that the familial relations we expect from white people to actually care about their children don't exist in Negroes. Or if they do exist in Negroes, they don't exist to the same extent that they do among white people. And this is a female, this is a Negress that just kills her child, flings him into a mortar and pounds his brains out so that she can turn him into some kind of ointment. And these same people then come over to Britain, and when they mistreat their children, we act as if that's not normal, as if this they should be prosecuted for this. And they don't understand why they're being prosecuted for it, because it's just their normal behaviour. Like when the Somalian kids bit all those chunks out of that white baby a while back. And the mother said, that's just what kids do. That's just what Somalian kids do. They don't understand that it's wrong to bite chunks out of white babies. That's what their instincts tell them to do. We are absolutely mad importing them into our countries. And there's no excuse for it when there are all these reports that our ancestors left us of the behaviours that they witnessed in Africa. No excuse for it at all. And those traitors that are in government that keep saying we should allow more into our countries, like Ireland, trying to replace all the Irish with Negroes. They're just going to end up with a cannibal Holocaust in Ireland if something isn't done about it. And instead of facing up to the truth of what the Negroes are actually like, we even start persecuting white people and saying that white people are somehow appropriating something, anything that the Negro has. I mean, what possible thing that the Negro has or invented could the white man want for himself? When you look at these reports, there's nothing that the Negro has that the white man would want. And everything that the Negro has today has been taken from the white man. Clothes, hairstyles, reading, learning to read and write, everything that the Negro has been appropriated from white people. And yet crazy whites seem to think we've appropriated what we have from them. Listen to this ludicrous story from Canada. White comedian Zach Poitras was banned from participating in comedy events in Montreal, Canada, after organisers claimed his dreadlock hairstyle was inappropriate. Poitras was originally supposed to appear at two comedy nights taking place at the Coupe Les Recoltes bar, located in Montreal's famous Quartier Latin area, but was rejected by the organisers, who wrote on Facebook that his dreadlock hairstyle violated their discrimination rules, Montreal newspaper Le Devoir reports. Now, there is a question about whether dreadlocks are actually a black hairstyle. The natural black hairstyle is an afro, which is like a furry microphone cover that just grows out from their heads in a circle. That's the natural African hairstyle. When you look at the oldest pictures of them, dreadlocks is something new. Yet, if you look back in white history, you can find paintings of white kings that appear to have dreadlocks or some type of matted hair or plaited hair that they have. I mean, just plaiting hair is not something that Negroes could do in the wilds, because their hair was just a solid mat on their heads. It's more like wool rather than hair. Again, it's a big difference between whites and blacks is the hair itself. Negro hair doesn't have any oil, and if you look at it under a microscope, it's a completely different shape to the white man's hair. So dreadlocks, I don't think dreadlocks could have originated with Negroes. Maybe once the Negroes had been brought into white countries and then they developed it. But the idea of plaiting the hair or allowing it to stick together with the natural oils, that's something that whites would have done. I mean, just thinking about it, because the Negroes don't actually have any oil in their hair, how could they have done that? The only way they could do it is by adding oil to it. And this is, what were they going to be doing it with years ago? I guess they could have done it with animal fat and stank even worse than the way you imagine they would have smelled before they were partially civilized by the white man. But there are definite reports of whites plaiting hair and certainly looking like we had kings, blonde kings that certainly looked like they had dreadlocks. Continue with the article. We will not tolerate any discrimination or harassment within our spaces, the organizers wrote, and added that cultural appropriation, in their view, was when someone from a dominant culture appropriates symbols, clothing, or hairstyles that come from historically dominated cultures. How can you appropriate clothing from Negroes? How can you appropriate clothing from a being that never used to wear clothes, never was wearing clothes when we first discovered them? Ridiculous. Hairstyles. Negroes never had hairstyles. They just had afros. Just the fact calling it hair is a great leap in descriptive powers to actually call it hair when you think about it. Symbols? What symbols did Negroes ever have? They never developed a written language, let alone symbology. The whole idea of a symbol is an abstract idea, something that represents something else. I don't think they ever had symbols. So none of that was invented by blacks. Symbols, clothing, or hairstyles, the very concepts are white concepts. Anything that's come since is where Negroes have appropriated it from us. It's completely the other way around. Continuing, the bar, which also serves as a co-op run by the Public Interest Research Group of the Université de Québec du à Montréal, argued that the comedian may not be racist himself, but that his hairstyle acts as a vehicle for racism. He's got racist hair that's oppressing these Negroes. History professor Greg Robinson, who teaches on the subject of black immigration into Canada. Is that a subject, black immigration into Canada? They're going to study that at university. Professor Greg Robinson compared the situation to that of blackface, saying it is white people who disguise themselves as blacks to make fun of them, and added that even if the intent was not to mock, people should be cautious on the subject. I doubt very much whether this white comedian grew dreadlocks in order to make fun of blacks. He probably had a rather unhealthy fascination with reggae music and thought it would be cool to grow dreadlocks. But I doubt very much as if he sees himself as a racist that's deliberately oppressing Negroes by having his hair like that. The case is not the first time an individual of European descent has been attacked for wearing dreadlocks. Actor Zac Efron was accused of cultural appropriation last July after releasing a picture of himself with a distinct hairstyle on Instagram. In one case, accusations of cultural appropriation turned into violence when a black student at San Francisco State University was caught on video assaulting a male student with dreadlocks after an argument about cultural appropriation. Well, who could have predicted that, that a Negro would lose his rag and assault a white male student? It's not like there are any reports of that happening. Not like there are any reports of Negroes being bloodthirsty and attacking one another in their own homelands, is there? In 2017, there were even attempts made by left-wing activists to lobby the United Nations to make cultural appropriation illegal. Well, we've got news for the leftists. Negroes never had a culture in Africa. Everything that they have in the West has been taken from the West. They had no culture in Africa. All you have to do is read Negroes in Negroland to understand that and learn about that. And there was a time when the courts of America referred to that book because it was eyewitness accounts of what the explorers saw in Africa. If they want to talk about cultural appropriation, then we should be talking about clothing, people learning how to read and write, medicines, computers, musical instruments, transport, railways, telephones, infrastructure, housing, I mean, everything that you can think of that we have in Western civilization was invented by whites and has been appropriated by blacks, not the other way around. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.